can you tell us a little bit about your experiences during the most recent bushfire season? Just how close did you get?
Well, close enough to lose my beard. as opposed to like many of the other fire seasons I've covered, that would, you know, you'd have a peak of like a week where you might have, you know, a week of really intense fire. But this was just essentially every week for about 4 months, we just had a major fire day every, like at least one every week, where there would be many homes lost. So it was exhausting. Exhausting not just actually on the days covering it, but just exhausting for photographers like myself who are sort of weather, study weather as well. It was looking for where those fires, which fires would develop, because there were, if you remember, there were like hundreds of fires. And so the conditions where that were best for making a fire go explosive, you would be going, okay, where is this going to happen? I mean, it's exactly the same stuff that the RFS were doing, but we'd be doing it a bit more sort of solo. And so we'd pick out the spots where we thought it was going to happen. And every single time, it went way above expectations. It always, just every single time, it went above and beyond what was expected and what we had experienced in the past.
How did you get involved in photojournalism in the first place? I mean, when you set out, was this the kind of thing you really saw yourself eventually handling?
I started in 1994 at the Sydney Morning Herald, and I grew up in the Blue Mountains. So I sort of had a knowledge and, I guess, interest in bushfires and storms. But it wasn't until around about 2000, there wasn't a media training program with the RFS back then. So I went and did my basic firefighter training with them. And then after that, they started developing a media training program. But so I've covered fires for a long time, and certainly back then I realised that there was a lack of images when fires impact a community. Mm. It was usually always either a fluke or it was just aftermath pictures. And for me, it was like, well, that's not necessary. It is possible to get there, but in time, but it requires sort of patience and studying the weather, and also some backup from your photo desk to go, no, these are fire day, and we do need images if this happens. So if you react from the office out in the middle of Sydney, for example, and the fire is 2 hours away, you're not going to even realise that it's sort of bad until an hour after it's really happened. And you might not even leave the office until the actual fire is impacting the community. Now, the aim of a newspaper, in particular a photojournalist, is to photograph the community when they are dealing with this event. And I really felt that that hadn't been done back then. And so the past two decades, myself and several other photographers have really put a lot of effort into doing that.
Was there a particular image that came out of this bushfire season? I mean, whether it was one of yours or someone else's, that made you think, yes, that captures it. That gives us a real taste of exactly what was going on.
There were several. There was one by freelancer Matt Abbott, who was working for the New York Times, that resonated in a big way, or as Trump would say, bigly, overseas, and that was a kangaroo jumping in front of a burning house. Mm. Now that, for people overseas, you immediately go, you knew where that was. You knew where it was because of iconic kangaroo in front of the thing. So that resonated very well with international readers. There was a terrible photo by David Caird of a burnt kangaroo on a fence. Once again, that had that sort of impact. And probably my favourite, if you call it that, was an image that just hadn't been really caught before. And that was down at Orangeville when what was like an area ignition, essentially a massive section of forest all went up under about 3 seconds. And it just put millions of embers into the air at night and just filled the air with these embers. And it forced firefighters and myself just to run for our lives. But I was photographing at the same time and captured this ember rain as it was occurring. And that's how many frames that I've seen that captured like that before. There's been some that have been fairly good, but not in that respect, where it really gave just the engulfing heat of what it is to stand against a fire.
Yeah, I'm looking at the image you're mentioning there right now, Nick, and it really is just striking. I mean, just an incredible example of just how twisted, I guess, nature can be during the midst of these kinds of events. Do you think it would have been impossible to get home? I mean, it would have been impossible, I should say, to get home to the Australian public just how devastating these fires were without these images that we saw?
We've had bad fires in the past. They weren't, as far as lives lost, it's been far worse. But to give everybody a idea of like not having to use your imagination of what it is to face a fire and some of the bizarre phenomena like fire tornadoes and the wind direction swirling, it just can't really imagine that sort of stuff without video and stills. And that has been what has been missing from essentially a lot of the fire coverage. So Black Saturday, there was very little stills or video coverage actually from the fires of that event. And even, Ash Wednesday and stuff like that, it tended to be stories passed down or a few little snippets of coverage. One of the most important things from that will come from this is not just the actual historical value of these images, but the actual scientific value from video and stills. You can start working out what is happening with the wind fields at the ground level. So these fires develop just like a thunderstorm would. So they start having inflow patterns and all sorts of crazy stuff. And it's only with that sort of information that you can start really modelling what bushfires will do on those extreme days, which is why we were taken by surprise so many times. And when I say we, I mean the RFS and the Bureau of Meteorology, there was so many times there where they were like, wow, we just have not seen this before. Certainly the stills and video in particular, not just the professional, but also from homeowners and fireys at the scene, to really learn from this. I mean, that's so important for us to learn from it so we can prepare our properties and fight fires in the future, which are likely to be, we're likely to face again.
Mm. And just finally, can you tell us a little bit about this panel covering the bushfires you're taking part in as part of the Head On Photo Festival?
Well, we've got a group of picture editors who would have been seeing all these images coming in and they'd be thinking about our safety and essentially trying to, I mean, it's very easy to get caught up in just photographing the action, but it's also some of the other stuff that's going on and try not to forget about other communities that got hit the day before or even the week before or the month before. So they will be talking about stuff that they think was new and how it was resonating overseas and how it ran in the papers. This was one of the first times where truly full online blogging of a major continuing news event in Australia was covered across the media. Print media was essentially competing with radio 24 hours a day with updated coverage. And that's not something that is able to be said very often. So it was a major event. So we'll be talking about that. I'll be talking about literally what it is like to cover the fires on the ground and what you sort of the knowledge and the personal protective equipment and all those things that you have to do when you're covering a fire. For example, just thinking about your safety zones and what you do when you're approaching a fire, that sort of stuff. So all the different sort of aspects of media at fire and some of our experiences and stuff like that.
Fabulous, fabulous stuff. Well, Nick, we will have to leave it there, but thank you very much. Do appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure.